2. Matrix of Destiny. The universal goddess makes her appearance to men under a multitude of guises, for the effects of creation are multitudinous, complex, and of mutually contradictory kind when experienced from the viewpoint of the created world. The mother of life is, at the same time, the mother of death. She is masked in the ugly demonesses of famine and disease. The Sumero-Babylonian astral mythology identified the aspects of the cosmic female with the phases of the planet Venus. As morning star, she was the virgin. As evening star, the harlot. As lady of the night sky, the consort of the moon. And when extinguished under the blaze of the sun, she was the hag of hell. Wherever the Mesopotamian influence extended, the traits of the goddess were touched by the light of this fluctuating star. A myth from Southeast Africa, collected from the Wahungwe Makoni tribe of South Rhodesia, displays the aspects of the Venus Mother in coordination with the first stages of the cosmogonic cycle. Here, the original man is the moon, the morning star, his first wife, the evening star, his second. Just as Wainamoinen emerged from the womb by his own act, so this moon man emerges from the abyssal waters. He and his wives are to be the parents of the creatures of the earth. The story comes to us as follows.
Maori, God, made the first man and called him Muetsi, moon. He put him on the bottom of a dzivoa, lake, and gave him a ngona horn, filled with ngona oil. Muetsi lived in Dzivoa.
This horn and oil play a conspicuous role in the folklore of South Rhodesia, the modern-day nation of Zimbabwe. The ngona horn is a wonder-working instrument with the power to create fire and lightning, to impregnate the living, and to resurrect the dead.
Muetsi said to Maori, "I want to go on the earth." Maori said, "You will rue it." Muetsi said, "Nonetheless, I want to go on the earth." Maori said, "Then go on the earth." Muetsi went out of Dzivoa and on to the earth. The earth was cold and empty. There were no grasses, no bushes, no trees. There were no animals. Muetsi wept and said to Maori, "How shall I live here?" Maori said, "I warned you. You have started on the path at the end of which you shall die. I will, however, give you one of your kind." Maori gave Muetsi a maiden, who was called Masasi, the morning star. Maori said, "Masasi shall be your wife for 2 years. Maori gave Masasi a fire maker. In the evening, Muetsi went into a cave with Masasi. Masasi said, "Help me. We will make a fire. I will gather chimandra, kindling, and you can twirl the rusika, revolving part of the fire maker." Masasi gathered kindling. Muetsi twirled the rusika. When the fire was lighted, Muetsi lay down on one side of it, Masasi on the other. The fire burned between them. Muetsi thought to himself, "Why has Maori given me this maiden? What shall I do with this maiden, Masasi?" When it was night, Muetsi took his ngono horn. He moistened his index finger with a drop of ngono oil. Muetsi said, "Ndini jambuka mirine mirir." I am going to jump over the fire. This sentence is many times repeated in a melodramatic ceremonial tone. Muetsi jumped over the fire. Muetsi approached the maiden, Masasi. Muetsi touched Masasi's body with the ointment on his finger. Then Muetsi went back to his bed and slept. When Muetsi wakened in the morning, he looked over to Masasi. Muetsi saw that Masasi's body was swollen. When day broke, Masasi began to bear. Masasi bore grasses. Masasi bore bushes. Masasi bore trees. Masasi did not stop bearing till the earth was covered with grasses, bushes, and trees. The trees grew. They grew till their tops reached the sky. When the tops of the trees reached the sky, it began to rain. Muetzi and Masasi lived in plenty. They had fruits and grain. Muetzi built a house. Muetzi made an iron shovel. Muetzi made a hoe and planted crops. Masasi plaited fish traps and caught fish. Masasi fetched wood and water. Masasi cooked. Thus Muetzi and Masasi lived for 2 years. After 2 years, Maori said to Masasi, "The time is up." Maori took Masasi from the earth and put her back in Zivoa. Muetzi wailed. He wailed and wept and said to Maori, "What shall I do without Masasi? Who will fetch wood and water for me? Who will cook for me?" 8 days long, Muetzi wept. 8 days long, Muetzi wept. Then Maori said, "I have warned you that you are going to your death, but I will give you another woman. I will give you Morongo, the evening star. Morongo will stay with you for 2 years. Then I shall take her back again." Maori gave Muetzi Morongo. Morongo came to Muetzi in the hut. In the evening, Muetzi wanted to lie down on his side of the fire. Morongo said, "Do not lie down over there. Lie with me." Muetzi lay down beside Morongo. Muetzi took the Ngono horn, put some ointment on his index finger. But Morongo said, "Don't be like that. I am not like Masasi. Now smear your loins with Ngono oil. Smear my loins with Ngono oil." Muetzi did as he was told. Morongo said, "Now couple with me." Muetzi coupled with Morongo. Muetzi went to sleep. Towards morning, Muetzi woke. As he looked over to Morongo, he saw that her body was swollen. As day broke, Morongo began to give birth. The first day, Morongo gave birth to chickens, sheep, goats. The second night, Muetzi slept with Morongo again. The next morning, she bore eland and cattle. The third night, Muetzi slept with Morongo again. The next morning, Morongo bore first boys and then girls. The boys who were born in the morning were grown up by nightfall. On the fourth night, Muetzi wanted to sleep with Morongo again. But there came a thunderstorm, and Maori spoke, "Let be. You are going quickly to your death." Muetzi was afraid. The thunderstorm passed over. When it had gone, Morongo said to Muetzi, "Make a door and then use it to close the entrance to the hut. Then Maori will not be able to see what we are doing. Then you can sleep with me." Muetzi made a door. With it, he closed the entrance to the hut. Then he slept with Morongo. Muetzi slept. Towards morning, Muetzi woke. Muetzi saw that Morongo's body was swollen. As day broke, Morongo began to give birth. Morongo bore lions, leopards, snakes, and scorpions. Maori saw it. Maori said to Muetzi, "I warned you." On the fifth night, Muetzi wanted to sleep with Morongo again. But Morongo said, "Look, your daughters are grown. Couple with your daughters." Muetzi looked at his daughters. He saw that they were beautiful and that they were grown up. So he slept with them. They bore children. The children which were born in the morning were full grown by night. And so Muetzi became the Mambo, king of a great people. But Morongo slept with the snake. Morongo no longer gave birth. She lived with the snake. One day Muetzi returned to Morongo and wanted to sleep with her. Morongo said, "Let be." Muetzi said, "But I want to." He lay with Morongo. Under Morongo's bed lay the snake. The snake bit Muetzi. Muetzi sickened. After the snake had bitten Muetzi, Muetzi sickened. The next day it did not rain. The plants withered. The rivers and lakes dried. The animals died. The people began to die. Many people died. Muetzi's children asked, "What can we do?" Muetzi's children said, "We will consult the Hakata, sacred dice." The children consulted the Hakata. The Hakata said, "Muetzi the Mambo is sick and pining. Send Moetsi back to the Dzivoa. Thereupon Moetsi's children strangled Moetsi and buried him. They buried Marongo with Moetsi. Then they chose another man to be Mambo. Marongo, too, had lived for 2 years in Moetsi's Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe means roughly the royal court. The enormous prehistoric ruins near Fort Victoria are called the Great Zimbabwe. Other stone ruins throughout southern Rhodesia are called Little Zimbabwe. It is clear that each of the three stages of procreation represents an epoch in the development of the world. The pattern for the procession was foreknown, almost as something already observed. This is indicated by the warning of the All Highest. But the Moon Man, the mighty living one, would not be denied the realization of his destiny. The conversation at the bottom of the lake is the dialogue of eternity and time, the colloquy of the quick, to be or not to be. Unquenchable desire is finally given its rope. Movement begins. The wives and daughters of the Moon Man are the personifications and precipitators of his destiny. With the evolution of his world creative will, the virtues and features of the goddess mother were metamorphosed. After the birth from the elemental womb, the first two wives were pre-human, supra-human. But as the cosmogonic round proceeded, and the growing moment passed from its primordial to its human historical forms, the mistresses of the cosmic births withdrew, and the field remained to the women of men. Thereupon the old demiurgic sire, in the midst of his community, became a metaphysical anachronism. When at last he grew tired of the merely human and yearned back again to the wife of his abundance, the world sickened a moment under the pull of his reaction, but then released itself and ran free. The initiative passed to the community of the children. The symbolic, dream-heavy parental figures subsided into the original abyss. Only man remained on the furnished earth. The cycle had moved on.